Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And we're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that allows you to sync your fantasy football league and bet on the head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or head on over to BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's B-E-T-T-O-R Fantasy.com/SGPN. And finally, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at sobet.io/SGPN. That's SOBET.io/SGPN. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app because it's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast, a.k.a. the Raw Dog and Gumby Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'll be Raw Dog, Jeff Fox. At least for now, I'm Raw Dog. I'm sure in a few weeks it'll change to a new nickname. I'll have to wait and see. Thank you for coming to the podcast, episode number 103. We will dedicate to the year 2021, which is almost in the books. And what a amazing year it was. Everyone was right at the end of 2020 saying next year is going to be better than this year. You know, things are going to improve because, yeah, everything is really, really great right now. So 2022 is going to have a hard act to follow trying to be better than 2021. So I hope everyone agrees. This isn't a New Year's podcast. We don't talk about New Year's. We don't talk about things like that. We talk about people punching and kicking for money. So we actually have picks for you this week too. Even though we are in a dead period, there is a big fight card coming up in Japan on New Year's Eve. As they like to do in Japan, they like to have big New Year's extravaganza. So we're going to give you some winning picks for that. And, you know, the usual nonsense that you've come to expect and love all 103 episodes of this podcast. So time to bring in the Gumby of the Raw Dog and Gumby Show. My associate co-host, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, the only man brave enough to publicly admit to being my friend. Hello, Dan.
I like that this presupposes that there's like a whole slew of guys who are your friend but won't admit it publicly. Yeah. It's like you have like a dungeon filled with them.
Dungeon, yes. That's the only way someone would be my friend is a dungeon.
Well,
you agree,
I like,
2021,
I like that
amazing year.
I mean, it was an amazing year for fights. I had to do the year, end of the year awards for – you know, some of the outlets, as well as the Top Turtle podcast we did end of the year awards. I could not believe how many, like, insane fights and knockouts. Like Kamaru Usman's knockout of Jorge Masvidal, which was insane, right? Like, a knockout nobody saw coming, absolutely brutal. It wasn't even close to winning knockout of the year for me. I know some outlets have picked it, but it was, like, barely in the top five, as far as I was concerned. So, like, it's crazy that we got that many good ones.
Exactly. And whoever had money on the under 2 minutes before Dan plugs his other podcasts, you hit it. It was like minus 1,000. So you didn't hit a lot of money for that, but you did hit it. So
your introductions to me have gotten shorter and shorter. So I have to slowly find ways to plug it in myself.
Yeah, it's true. I used to hype you up a lot more than I did, but you know, now I just want to get this over with, Dan. You know, it's such a chore talking to all our legions of fans around the world. You know, just want to get it over with, Dan. Actually, we have another fun show today because you're going to make winning picks for everyone, aren't you, Dan?
I'm going to do my best. I will. I don't mean to sell myself short. I will say of the foreign promotions that I've ever picked for, I notoriously do my worst, I think, in Japan. Just because, yeah.
A lot of wacky matchups and
yeah, there's weird shit going on there. And I mean, hey, that's
yes,
wasn't that the location for our lone fight fixing scandal in like recent memory? Was that in Japan? Was it?
I think so. There's always a lot of nonsense going on with the Yakuza and whatnot in Japan.
Yeah, it was
the mafia or anything.
I think it was a Korean guy though, right? Wasn't it Taehyung Bang? Taehyung Bang, and he was fighting Leo Kuntz too, if I'm not mistaken. Real name.
Yes, amazing.
Despite the fact that he bet on Kuntz, he pulled out the win for himself by split decision at the end of the day. So he like tried to fix the fight, didn't succeed, probably pissed a lot of people off. And just glorious stuff.
Yes. We also have Russia is good for wacky things, which was something I forgot to ask you about. I think I sent you a video of it. Car Jiu-Jitsu. Did you see the video of that?
Yeah, I did see. Somebody had
the
sent
new
it
sport
to
in
me.
Russia.
Somebody had sent it to me before you did too. It's pretty nutty. Like it's up there with being one of the nuttier things I've seen. But with that being said, it's Russia. You know, you come to expect it.
Yeah, there's not much to do in Russia apparently, so they come up with sports like slap fights are always fun to watch. But yeah. People haven't seen the clip. It's jiu-jitsu inside a car. So they basically can go anywhere in the car, can they not?
My understanding is that they can go anywhere in the car. But however, like there's not a lot of room in a car, right?
No. How is it refereed?
Do they do it on honor? It looks like maybe the honor system. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, that's something that Fight Circus should do next time they have another event. They had fights inside a phone booth. Now they can do jiu-jitsu inside a car. So
I'm sure they're already working on something like that. They're probably going to do a four-person in-car jiu-jitsu.
Exactly. in one of those little clown cars, too. It would be beautiful. And hopefully we can bet on it, which is what it's all about.
Do they let you bet on fights for Fight Circus? I've never seen lines, but I just know it is one of the wackier things you would be able to bet on, because that's just crazy.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out next time there's an event. We'll have to dig in and see if we can find some odds or whatnot for it. You don't have to dig in too far though if you want to find tickets for college football's bowl season, because TickPick has got everything you need. There's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet for tickets to see your favorite team play in their bowl game this winter, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all tickets for NCAA football, NFL, concerts, NBA, and more. Dan and I are going to go buy tickets from there. Once bowl season's over, we're going to watch the Bulls and the Suns in the NBA Finals, of course. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices in all of their college football tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. So visit TickPick today at TickPick.com/SGP. That's TickPick.com/SGP. Also, we're brought to you by WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. exclusive rewards right at your fingertips, getting all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Plus, WynnBET has a brand new bonus. Bet $5, win $400 in free bets. Dan, actually, I usually tell Dan to put picks, but you can read his picks. They're on the site right now, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Dan has three picks for you that you can bet on in this $5 win $400 free bet promo they have. Plus, there's another fun promo. Win a VIP trip to Shaq's Funhouse in L.A. Bet $20 on WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet feature and earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the big game. You and three guests will receive a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse, two nights at Wynn Las Vegas, a $5,000 free bet at Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook, and a $5,000 travel credit. So that's all you need over at WynnBET. They're giving things away, free bets. You can go to Shaq's Funhouse in L.A. What more do you want? Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free, $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. All right, we promised you some picks. It's been a few shows since we've given you picks, and all of you blew all your money on Christmas. Dan's going to help you win your money back because Ryzen FF, which is run by Saki Kabara, who is the guy who ran Pride. They are running one of their yearly New Year's Eve shows this week. So if you are in the Eastern time zone, as we are, as your two lovely hosts here are, it will be starting at Thursday night, 11:30 p.m. So tomorrow at 11:30 p.m., which makes it like early afternoon in Japan where it's taking place. And usually these cards go for hours and hours, right? It looks like there's 15 fights on here, so this will be going from what, like probably 2 till midnight or whatever.
We use the term fights loosely. There's like weird custom rules, exhibitions, and weird. I mean, like that. We talked about a Tenshin versus Takegomi in a kickboxing match.
Custom rules out,
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell that is, but it seems terrible.
There's custom rules, kickboxing bouts, but we're going to concentrate on the MMA fights, and there's some good ones. They are wrapping up their Bantamweight Grand Prix in this event, so they're going to have the two semifinal fights plus a reserve bout in case someone gets hurt or something like that, and then they're going to the main event of the evening will be the finals of the Bantamweight Grand Prix. They also will be having a fight for their men's lightweight championship. They're also having basically a super fight between a women's super fight between their super anaweight champ and another promotion, Jules strawweight champ. So they got a lot of interesting things on here. And Dan's actually got picks for you for a few of them. He's picked through the event. Like we're talking 15 fights and some of them are wacky. So he's picked through the rubble and he's found the jewels and what you should bet on. So let's start things off with what do we got here first. Bantamweight, I guess this would be the reserve bout, right? Versus Yuki Matoya and Yuta Hakamura. Is that the...
Yep. Okay. That would be that's the reserve bout.
That's the reserve bout. Okay. I will give you the breakdown here. Matoya is 28-10 with one no contest. He's got 6 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out himself twice, submitted 3 times, so he's been finished half of his losses. He's 5-5 with one no contest in Ryzen. He used to be the champion in Deep, another promotion in Asia. He was the bantamweight and the flyweight champion over there. He's an inch taller than Hakamura. He's at minus 202. This is one of the only fights I could find odds at this point. So this one, he is the pretty big favorite. Hakamura, Quintero is his nickname. Do you know what Quintero translates to, Dan?
I do not.
golden boy. So he's the golden boy. He's 18-11.
That's the same nickname as Edmund Shabazian.
It is. We should call him Quintero. Maybe we'll see if, except he's Armenian or something, right? He's not Japanese. So maybe that wouldn't make sense. Anyhow, moving on. The Golden Boy is 18-11-2 with 13 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 4 times. He's been submitted 5 times. 2-2 in Ryzen. He's gone win-loss over his 4 Ryzen fights. So we're talking to middle of the road Ryzen fighters here, both with exactly middle of the road records, 2-2 and 5-5. He's 4 years younger than Montoya, plus 172. So what's your breakdown here, Mr. Vreeland?
So this is kind of a one that, you know, you said they're both middle of the road. And until you just read me the odds, I had not seen odds on this one. So I'm going to say...
Yeah, I was going to ask you your thoughts on the odds first.
Yeah, so I am kind of shocked that Hakamura is that big of an underdog. This is probably the pick I had labored the most on. Because like you said, they both clearly have holes. They both get hit a lot. Even though neither is a big puncher, they both got submission skills. Although I guess Montoya is a big puncher. He hits pretty hard. So I had been leaning Montoya. I am tempted in the dog money there. But I'm going to say because I don't really trust Hakamura's defense. He gets hit too much. I'm going to say Montoya despite those odds. But I will say the odds do tempt me just ever so slightly. So My official pick will be Yuki Montoya here.
Okay. But you think there's value on the other side?
I do, yeah. I was very shocked when you said that. I thought this was going to be like a pick'em fight or, you know, I didn't think I'd see anybody higher than like plus 130. So to hear somebody at plus 170, you have to imagine there's some value there. No matter what side it came in on there, I was going to say there's value on plus 130. But at the same time, I'm just having a tough time picking against Montoya. And that was the pick I had written down ahead of time, so I'm going to stick with it. I'm not gonna think about flying it on the or changing it on the fly. I'm going to say let's stick with Montoya.
Yep, usually it's best to stick with what your research has brought you to. Do you know a lot about people on this card? I forgot to ask you. Have you seen all these people fight?
So this bantamweight one, which is, like I said, the one I toiled on the most, is definitely the one I knew the least. The two semifinals I know quite well. I know three out of the four guys excellently, and then one guy sort of well.
Let's see how he does them. Let's move on to the bantamweight semifinals. Hiromasa Ogikubo versus Naoki Inoue, famous last name. I don't have odds for this, but let's break her down. Ogikubo first, 23-5-2 with one knockout, six submissions. He's been knocked out twice and submitted twice. He's 5-2 in Ryzen. He's won three straight fights. He also was on the Ultimate Fighter. That would have been flyweight, right? That season? I think, because he fought Tim Elliott.
Ogikubo Hiromasa.
Yeah, Ogikubo.
Yeah, he was on the champion season where the winner got the title shot.
Yeah, so he went 3-1 in tough, lost to Tim Elliott, I think, in the last round, and then he didn't get a fight. How come he didn't get a fight in the show and they just released him if he made it that far?
That is a great question. Yeah,
that's the mystery.
He was one fight away from fighting Mighty Mouse for the UFC title.
Yeah, he lost. So he lost in the finals to Elliott, right?
Elliott. But that was on that season. It was not an actual UFC fight. They won the Tough Championship in the gym, and then the winner got to fight Mighty Mouse.
Right. All right, so anyhow, he's got high-level experience there. He also was the Shudo featherweight and bantamweight champion, and he used to fight at flyweight. I should mention the weight classes are a little different over in Japan, and also they're fairly close to what we're used to, but I think they go with kilograms and stuff like that. So the weights are a little different. It's not as wacky as one where everything's a secret, but the weights are a little different. So anyhow, he's fought at a bunch of different weight classes, fought on tough. Three fight winning streak, 5-2 in Ryzen. Inoue, 17-2, one knockout, 10 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's 5-0 in Ryzen. He's won six straight fights. He had a brief spell in the UFC where he went 1-1. He also used to fight at flyweight. He's 10 years younger than Ogikubo. Got 5 inches of height on him, 6 inches of reach. So all those stats are very strongly in Inoue's favor. Are you leaning Inoue or what?
I think I'm going to take Ogikubo.
Okay.
I think the odds will be in a way's favor, sort of as you mentioned. When I thought about it, I just on name value alone and how he's looked recently, like in a way, so he was in the UFC when he was very, very young. I want to say he got to the UFC when he was only in his like 20s or something. And if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not messing this up, his sister is still in the UFC, Mizuki in a way.
We haven't seen her for a while, though.
Yeah, she's one and one, but she has been out for I think about a year. But with that being said, like, I really like his promise. I liked him when he was in the UFC. He lost to Matt Schnell, which certainly no shame in that. But the thing about Okekobu is he's really good at, like, controlling position. He's, like, a very, very, very strong wrestler. Really, the only reason he lost to Tim Elliott was he kind of just got out-scrambled in that fight. And Tim Elliott, really tough guy to beat. And the fight to get to fight
it's
Tim Elliott.
To scramble with, too.
Yeah, an impossible guy to scramble with. So if you're a wrestler, like, you know, Tim Elliott's one of the toughest dudes to fight. And then if we go back one fight, the fight that he won to fight Tim Elliott for the championship, he beat Alexandre Pantoja, which is insane, right? Like, that's an insane victory to have on your record, despite the fact it's not officially on his record. I just think his wrestling's going to be too much for Inoue. I actually think Inoue's, like, length and lankiness is probably going to play against him here because I think Hiro is just going to duck underneath some shots and get in on his legs. And those takedowns, while not always easier against the guy who's really tall, you know, like, you really got to get in on him. I think he's going to, like, land some trips here and wind up just controlling enough of this fight. And also, like, sometimes tournaments like this favor a guy who fights a little bit smarter, right? Like, if he's going to have to fight again later, he needs to be careful. So I think he's going to fight that careful fight, and I'm going to go with Okekobu here.
Yeah, despite this being two guys having to fight multiple times in the night, these are still full three-round, five-minute fights. I thought I should mention that. So, and looking, the intern, the looked up in a way, he was 20 years and 3 days old when he first fought in the UFC. So, yes, very young. He's still only 24 as it is. So both these guys should very reasonably be in the UFC, should they not? Probably flyweights?
Yeah, these two in the flyweight division right now I think would do really well. Yeah. You know, I think Inoue left after he went 1-1, just like contract stuff. Like, I don't even think it was part of the UFC purge. But yeah, like it's pretty big bummer that we don't get to see these guys against, you know, I mean, I'd love to see, you know, Inoue against somebody like Tim Elliott, you know, or I'd love to see Okekobu against a guy like, like even Manel Capp, who we're about to talk about somebody else who fought Manel Capp in a second. But, you know, like, there are a lot of fun fights at flyweight for these two and one of the people we're about to talk about, too.
Well, let's move on to those people then. So we got Dan has Okekobu penciled in for the finals. The other side of the bracket would be Kai Asakura versus Kenta Takazawa. They are both, like I said, they're both in the bantamweight semifinals as well. Takizawa is 13-7 with 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself 3 times. He's 3-2 in Rising. However, he's won 2 straight fights. That's what's gotten him this far in the tournament. The last fight he won via TKO. He's a year younger than Asakura, and he has a year 1-inch reach on him. So pretty much a wash there. Asakura, 18-3, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. So any time he's lost is when he's been knocked out. He's 10-2 in Ryzen. He used to be the champion of this division. He's trying to get his belt back. He's won 2 straight, because that's what you need to do to make it to the semis. And he's won 4 of his last 5. And of those 4 wins, 3 of them have been a knockout / TKO. And like I said, he was the former champion. So is the former champ going to the finals, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kai Asakura. Look, if you look back at his record, it's insane the people he beat, right? Like, he knocked out Koji Horiguchi. He knocked out Okekobu with a soccer kick. He broke Oka Sasaki's jaw, who's another guy who was in the UFC that I really liked. He took a split decision over Manel Capp. He beat Haile Alatang, who's in the UFC now. Like, he has just beaten a crazy list of people. And the only two lost, I would say a buttload, yeah. He's beaten a buttload of people, and the only two people he lost to were rematches with Manel Capp and Koji Horiguchi, or at least the only two people he's lost to in a really long time. He did lose back in Road FC way back in the day. So, yeah, I think he's an absolute beast. You mentioned the fact Takizawa has lost a couple of times by knockout. I just don't think he's the level of a boxer Asakura is. He certainly doesn't throw, you know, anywhere near the heat that he does. He's got losses to Olka Sasaki and Okekobu. Yeah, I think this is Kai Asakura all day.
Kai Asakura sounds like a big bully when you're listening to all the things he did. Break this guy's jaw, soccer kick this guy. Doesn't sound very nice, Dan. I want him in the UFC.
The knockout of Koji Horiguchi, like, shocked me. Like,
yes,
I was absolutely shocked when he did that.
Let's get him in the UFC. Come on. I want everyone in the UFC. I want everybody under the same umbrella. I know it's not good for them, but it's good for us as fans watching. So, all right. So you have an Ogikobu Asakura finals. First of all, what do you think the line's going to be at Asakura? You think he's going to be a big favorite over Takagawa?
Oh, I sort of assume it'll be a massive favorite. I think this one's going to be in like the negative 400 range probably. But so like
and
probably
then,
probably not the most
finals he would be favored too, right?
Oh yeah, he should definitely be favored in the finals. Yeah. And I'd probably pick him too. Like I'd probably pick Asakura. I mean, like Ogikobu is like kind of a weird style matchup for anybody, which is really the reason I'm taking him in the semifinals. But yeah, like I think you should reasonably expect Asakura to win this tournament.
Very good. All right, before we move on, let's tell you about PropSwap, because we're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. NFL playoffs are around the corner, and PropSwap has the best odds on Super Bowl futures. Dan says go in on the Cowboys. They've clinched the playoff spot, have they not?
They have clinched the playoff spot. Yet. They've clinched the division and are currently the 2 seed in the NFC.
All right, so go get those tickets for them. If you do see a ticket you like, Cowboys or otherwise, but you think the price is too high, then submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. You can always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors just like yourself. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. Sellers across the country list their sports bets for sale, and thousands of buyers visit PropSwap every day to find the best odds on futures, props, and parlays. Recently, Scott from Virginia purchased a Green Bay Packers Super Bowl ticket at odds of 6-1 when the sports books are only offering plus 450. If you're not using PropSwap, then you're missing out. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. And cash out for gift cards when your bets hit, and even help raise money for charity along the way. They're a brand new company looking to grow their early adopter community. They have a slick app that's fun to use. One of the reasons we do love using them is they offer prop betting. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get in some prop bets on Better Fantasy. Plus, a cool bonus they added, you can get your entire league to join Better Fantasy. They'll give the league a $150 gift card to get a sick-ass trophy from trophysmack.com. It's totally free to play. Download today for your iPhone or Android and check them out at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. All right, moving on. One of these super fights I was telling you about before, I believe, is the next one on the agenda here. Let's move up to that. Ayaka Hamasaki versus Seika Izawa. And this is at 108 pounds, which is that super atom weight or just atom weight there? No, I think it's whatever. 108 pounds is what it's at. Okay. Do you know what weight class that is, Dan?
I have no idea what they're doing.
It
the weight
might
class
be an in-between one. I'm not sure. All right. Yeah. So this is a super fight because Izawa is the current Jules strawweight champion. This will be her Ryzen debut. She's 4-0 with one submission. She is, other than being the Jules champ, she also is a grappling champ. She's 15 years younger than Hamasaki. Hamasaki is currently the super atomweight champ in Ryzen. She's held that title twice. She is 23-3 overall with 3 knockouts, 10 submissions. She's been knocked out herself twice. She's 9-1 in Ryzen, and she's won 4 straight fights. She also was in Invicta, where she was the atomweight champ, where she went 4-2. She also was in Jewels, where she was the lightweight champ. And based on their last weigh-ins, she'll be around 9 pounds heavier than Izawa. So tell us about this one, Dan.
So I think this one's kind of a mismatch. I think Hamasaki's like one of the best atom weights in the world, obviously. I think if you added the atom weight division to the UFC, we would be talking about her a lot more than we currently do. It's a shame that she doesn't get talked about. Her and Sohee Ham, too. Their fight at... I think it was in 2019, was really damn good, which Sohee Ham, she was in the UFC, but obviously had to fight in a weight class that didn't really work for her because she didn't actually have her weight class. And it was a split decision, really good fight. I think that one was on New Year's too. But anyway, Hamasaki, you know, like wins over people like Jin Yu Frey, who I think she beat twice in Invicta, if I'm not misremembering that. You know, like she beat Mizuki Inoue, who we talked about. She's fought Sohee Ham a bunch of times, and I think she's won one or two of those. I mean, like, she is awesome in a lot of different aspects, and we're talking about her fighting somebody who, don't get me wrong, is like an exciting up-and-comer and only 24 years old, but she also only has four pro bouts. She seems right. like she's sort of limited to being like a grapple first submission specialist, and you know, I think she's just gonna get lit up on the feet here. So I expect these odds to, if they're not already posted, to be pretty wide, maybe like Asukara sized wide, maybe even bigger. So maybe just pairing those two together, throw them in a parlay. Asukara and Hamasaki, I think, could probably at least get that number to a little bit more respectable place to bet.
Very, very good. All right, last fight we're going to break down, or Dan's going to break down, like I'm doing any work here, is for the lightweight championship, Roberto de Souza, current champ, versus Yosuke Yachi, and that is, like I said, for the lightweight championship. Yachi is 23-11, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 4 times and submitted twice. He's 7-5 in Ryzen. He's won 2 straight fights. He also fought in Bellator for a fight, which he won. He was a PXC champ and a Shudo champ. Plus 562 is the number.
Him. I was hoping you had a line for this one, because it's an absurd matchup.
It is. It already happened before, too. De Souza, nicknamed Satoshi. He's 12-1, 4 knockouts, 8 submissions. Everything is a finish for him. He got knocked out once. That's where the 1L on his record came from. He's 5-1 in Ryzen. He's won 3 straight fights, 2 of them via submission, 1 via TKO. Last fight, he did win the title that he's defending here. He already TKO'd Yachi back in 2020. He is also a BJJ champion, 2 inches taller than Yachi, minus 782. So you agree with the line, Dan?
Yeah, I do. It could probably be wider than that. Hey, maybe throw this in a parlay with Hamasaki and Asukara. It's a wide line. It should be a wide line. We watched this a year and a half ago. It was brutal. One of these guys has some issues with their defensive grappling. One of them is a BJJ world champ. One of them has ridiculous finishing power with both submissions and his hands. One gets finished with submissions and hands. So, Satoshi all the way here. Roberto Satoshi is definitely the play. If you can find a finish prop, maybe that makes it a little nicer. If you can find a first round finish prop, maybe that makes it even nicer. But Satoshi all the way here.
So there you go. So do you have, I forgot, so you think this one's going to end in a finish?
Yeah,
a violent
round.
Finish?
First round, Satoshi finishes him whenever he wants to.
Is Hamasaki going to finish Ozawa?
Let me think about that. Yes, I think so. She does win a lot by decision, but she's got good submissions, and I think Ozawa is going to, like, push her to try to grapple, which might be a mistake. I also think Hamasaki's got good hands, too. I don't think she's going to TKO her, but it could, like, encourage Ozawa to do some stupid grappling.
There you go. Do you see finishes in any of the bantamweight fights that we mentioned earlier?
Yeah, Asukara should finish Takazawa. I wouldn't be surprised if the other two went to decision, especially if Ogi Kobu wins. He's going to win by a decision. He's not much of a finisher.
Okay. So there you go, boys and 1.5 girls. I think that's the over-under. 1.5 women listen to this podcast. They're your picks. So as soon as you can bet them. And then you can, like I said, you watch it if you're East Coast. How do you watch this, Dan? On their website or by other means? How do you watch Ryzen?
I've always been a believer when it comes to Ryzen of the other means category, but you do what's the most legal in your area.
They don't have a North American deal, right? Is it all through their website?
I think it's usually all through their website. I think it's the appropriate place.
Okay. So there you go. What did I say? 11:30 p.m. on Thursday if you want to watch it and see how your bets did. So there you go. All right. Let me tell you about our last couple of sponsors, then we will move back to our UFC recaps that we've been doing. SoBet says, when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it. by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it's purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's S-O-B-E-T. .io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And if you haven't already, make sure you grab our app. That would be the SGPN app. We are live on the App Store and Google Play. Gives you easy access to all our picks. Lets you know when podcasts drop in case you, for some strange reason, you're not subscribed to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed. That will tell you when we drop a podcast. All that good stuff's there for you. And toss us an app review. We deserve it. Tell everyone how great SGPN is and the app is. So, all right. Now, since we were breaking down and making predictions and recaps and reviews of the various weight classes in the UFC, since we're in the rare dead period that the UFC has, this is basically the off season, right? The less than a month that we have here.
Yeah, it's the rare MMA off season, and I will say they've only been doing it for like. Did they do it last year in January, too, I think, where we had two or three dead weeks in a row? They didn't used to. We used to get a card on, like, January 2nd or something like that. We don't anymore.
Yeah. Very true. So we're going through all the weight classes. Since last week when we were, our last episode when you were doing it, a unnamed sports book has dropped future odds on the champion at the end of 2022. So we can actually add that to our analysis and put some numbers beside the picks that we've made. So if you didn't hear episode 102, you can go back, listen to it now. We did women's strawweight, flyweight, bantamweight, not featherweight, damn, we should have done featherweight. No, we kind of did do featherweight, I guess. And then men's flyweight and bantamweight. So let's actually, one second, let's put some odds beside these. So for recap, strawweight, I said Rose is going to be the champ. You said Marina Rodriguez. So you went out on the limb. Who do you think is the odds favorite at being the champ at the end of 2022?
I guarantee it's Rose.
You guarantee it, do you? What do you think the number is?
You're
right.
I'm going to say like plus 150?
Plus 275.
So wow.
Pretty big, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, I think that makes sense. There are reasonable challengers who could beat her. Yeah.
A reasonable challenger is the second most favored. Carlos Barros at plus 350 is coming in second for that. Who do you think rounds out the list? There's three other names on this list. Who's after Esparza?
You
got two 450s and a 650.
So I bet you Marina Rodriguez is the 650. Am I right about that?
She is, correct. Yes.
And then
so you're going to get big money if you hit that one, Dan.
Are the two 450s then Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Weili Zhang?
You're totally cheating. Dan's reading all this.
No, because they love the former champion thing. Like, we did this last year, and the former champions always had, like, wild odds that didn't belong where they were.
Very, very, very true. All right, so that was strawweights. For flyweights, we both said Valentina will be the champ. Who do you think's favored to be the champ at the end of 2022, Dan?
Valentina Shevchenko, -400.
550. So we're getting even worse than that.
I was trying to be extravagant there.
you're being far too polite. She's -550. All right, who do you think is her top challenger? There's actually two people at +800.
Talia Santos and Andrea Lee?
Yes. No, Andrea Lee's not honest. Talia Santos, correct. There's another person on the list. A former challenger.
Caitlin Chookagian?
Yes.
Oh, weird. Baggy, +800. Why?
I don't know. And then we got Vivian Araújo, +1,100. This one might be worth it, Dan. Manon Fiorot, +1,200. Maybe not this year, but next year.
Yeah, I would say if I had $100 to put on odds that you've told me about so far, I like Marina Rodriguez at 650 more than I like Manon Fiorot at 1,200.
Yeah, because Figueroa may not even get a title shot next year. Rodriguez very likely is going to get a crack at the title.
Right.
But Figueroa's probably got the game that could beat Shevchenko, does she not?
I think so. But like, you know, I've gone back and forth about what the different style is to beat Valentina Shevchenko, and I'm not sure we have a good answer about it yet. So I think it's at least a different question, you know what I mean, that Shevchenko would have to answer.
Definitely. All right, women's bantamweight. We both picked Amanda Nunes or Nunez. Who do you think is the favorite to be the champ at the end of 2022?
I think it's Nunes. Yeah.
Yep. And what do you think the number is?
-200.
No, +115. So you get some good money there, Dan.
Yeah, that's not I would dabble on that. That's interesting.
Next person's +200, which I'm sure you can guess.
Yeah, it's Juliana Pena.
You can probably guess the next one at +600.
Holly Holm.
Yes. Yeah, see, she's one of those names. Her and Joanna show up in every year on the list, right?
Yeah.
They're always entitled because I guess they always get title shots. So, hey, it makes sense. Then who rounds up the list? Any ideas? +650, +1100.
Is Jermaine Durandamy one of them?
No.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's because AWOL. That she's the weird AWOL situation. Then I will say... is one of them Ketlin Vieta?
Yes, +1100.
Okay, but then there's one in between there.
Yeah.
What the hell is the one in between there? It's not Misha Tate, is it?
No, it's Irene Aldana.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes more sense. I don't know why she was off my hand.
And they actually have featherweight ones here, too. Only four names, though, because there's no one in the featherweight class. Guess who's favorite at featherweight, Dan?
I bet you it's Amanda Nunes, -12 million.
Yes. -500. Not that bad. -500.
Sure.
Who else is on the list? Three other names are on the list. We got a +300, +1,000, +1,100.
Let's say one of them should be Norma Dumont.
Yeah, +1,000.
I'll take Holly Holm.
Nope. Surprisingly not, no.
She should be on there. And how about Kayla Harrison?
Yes, +300. And who's +1,100?
Aspen Ladd.
Someone who has trouble. Yes.
We're here.
Good. I'm going to give you a hint, but I don't need to. That's how good Dan is.
I'm doing great today. This is one of my all-time best days.
You are. All right. Don't worry. If people are getting bored with this, we're almost done. Flyweights. We both picked Askar Askarov. We both really went out on the limb there. Who is the favorite? Who is the favorite? Who is favorite? Who is favored is what I'm trying to say, Dan. Not favorite. Who's favorite?
I'm going to say Moreno.
Yes. +200.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then who do you got?
Probably right behind him. We're talking like 300 or 350. Somebody super close to that would be Figueiredo.
Yep, +325.
Yeah.
And then our man, Askarov, +350 we're going to get for him.
Well, only 350?
Yeah, +350, yeah.
Huh, I would have expected him to be a large, like I would have put him in the same category as like Marina Rodriguez, because he's not even the next title fight. So it's kind of shocking that he's that low. That number certainly wouldn't tempt me.
It shows you how good a fighter he is, right? Henry Cejudo +700.
Oh god.
Pantoja +800, Kaikar France +1200. So
the Kaikar France one is interesting.
Yeah, if he wins the Askarov fight, you got to think that number is going to drop, going to plummet. So if you think he's going to beat Askarov, you want to jump in on that number now.
Yeah. And that's maybe something you can use prop swap for.
Yes, exactly. All right, men's bantamweight. We both picked Piotr Jan, the currently the interim champ. And so did the bookies. I won't even make you guess. But what number do you think we got on him?
Probably -200.
-175, so you're right in there.
Yeah.
You are right in there. All right. Then we have Sterling +450, which is funny. The current champ is +450. Dillashaw +900, Aldo +900. Cejudo again +900. Sean O'Malley +2800. Which is pretty wild, probably because he's not going to get a title shot next year. So, all right. Let's move on to our breakdown. We're up to the featherweight weight class. Alexander Volkanovski, current champ, does not have a title fight set yet, but it sounds like it's going to be Max Holloway, right?
I kind of assume it's going to be. I do think if...
I think he even mentioned training for Holloway, or he was going to bring someone in to help him for Holloway, I thought. So I might be thinking wrong, but yeah.
No, I think you're right, but I think the fact that it's not announced yet really makes me feel like the UFC is trying to see if Giga Chikadze kicks Calvin Kattar's head off and is worthy of a title shot, because he would be somebody fresh. Or if, like, Volkanovski can't get back into the country, Giga then would be a good person to test Max with. Not that Max Holloway needs to be tested further, but, like, it would be a really great really great way to double-check and see if he is ready for the big time and is ready for his third shot, or, you know, one more thing that he could turn somebody away from. So, yeah, I think that's probably the title fight.
Yeah, I think if they're not in a rush for title fights to fill out cards immediately, then there's no reason to announce everything until all the chips have landed, all the chips have settled, all the dust has settled, all is something settled. Wait until after the Chikadze fight is what I'm saying. Unless you absolutely have to book a fight, so there's no reason to announce it early. So, but yeah, what your scenario that you're playing makes sense. I would rather see something different than seeing the third fight between two guys. But hey, I'm not booking the promotion. So, all right, who is, assuming Holloway gets the next title shot, which is, like we just said, an assumption. Who's getting next crack? Is it the winner of the Chikadze fight?
I guess
Kattar is not getting it if he wins, but
no, I would say Calvin Kattar is not getting it. But Giga Chikadze with a win might have to fight, especially if Max gets the next shot, might have to fight somebody like Korean Zombie or Yair Rodriguez to, like, prove his worth. Because not that a win over, you know, Calvin Kattar would be the worst thing before a title shot, but if it's both that and waiting, I don't think he's gonna get it. I think he's gonna have to do more than that. So, you could also see him fight somebody like Josh Emmett after this fight. I wouldn't be shocked at that. Josh Emmett's, like, kind of an interesting name now at featherweight, now that he's back and won a fight. So, I would say probably Max Holloway, and then as long as Giga gets by Calvin Kattar, him and somebody else would be in a number one contender bout.
Okay, yeah, it could be. Yeah, Emmett's kind of a forgotten man. He's won four straight fights, so, and violently he wins fights, so he should be right up there. As you said, Chen Sung Jung seems to always be in the running because of the way he fights. Chikadze obviously has to beat Calvin Kattar first.
Arnold Allen's a name we should have mentioned more.
Yeah, he's won. He's 8-0. So yeah, there you go, definitely. And he's the almighty one after all, Dan, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's right.
Who would you like to see him? Who do you want to see him fight next?
Arnold Allen?
In the book, does he? Yeah.
I think Arnold Allen, Josh Emmett would be a really fun fight.
Sure, yeah.
Let's book those two, and let's book, as long as Giga Chikadze, I'm tipping my hat on who I'm picking in this fight. Once Giga Chikadze gets past Calvin Kattar, book him with Korean Zombie, and then, like, make that a little mini tournament, or, you know, whoever impresses more gets the next title shot.
Works for me. All right, who should we keep an eye on in this class? There is a lot of not a huge amount of as we move up weight classes, we have less and less fighters under 30, but there is quite a few in this weight class. I'll just name a few. Ilya Topuria.
That's who I was going to mention.
Oh,
first.
Well, there you go. Go right ahead. He's 3-0. He's fighting Movsar Evalev next. So tell us what you think of the 24-year-old Ilya.
I mean, you pretty much said it all just by mentioning that he is really young. They already have him fighting somebody like Movsar Evloev. They clearly believe in what he's able to do. And in addition to that, too, like, remember, he's the guy, if you're not remembering correctly, that knocked out Ryan Hall. He absolutely dominated Yusef Zalal on short notice in his debut. He flatlined Damon Jackson in pretty brutal fashion in that fight. Like, and he also has, like, good wins on the regional circuit. He comes from Brave and Cage Warriors, and, like, he's fought for a bunch of good shows like that, too. And beating good guys, too. But, like, he beat Brian Boland, who's, like, one of the better dudes in all Belgium. So, like, he's a really interesting one for sure. you know, like, apart from that, I think the only other one who I really had an eye on and I think could make pretty large gains this year are probably Pat Sabatini. I feel like not enough people are talking about him being 3-0 in the way that he's 3-0 too, right? Like, he's not just 3-0. But I mean, like, he dominated Tristan Connolly, who had been coming off of a pretty big win. He hooked Jamal Emmers. He just beat Tucker Lutz. Like, he's up there as a guy who I think could do a lot of damage to a lot of ranked dudes and just hasn't gotten that shot yet. So, Ilia Topuria and Pat Sabatini are the names that I have circled.
There you go. Other, Topuria is 11-0 as a pro. So, yeah, UFC, he's on UFC 270. So, next month he's getting the Avalov fight. So, that'll be very interesting to see how he does there. Others worth mentioning that are young. Ricardo Ramos has been inconsistent as of late, wins and losses, but he's only 26. And he is 6-3 in the UFC. Thug Nasty, Bryce Mitchell is finally coming back. He's 27, 5-0 in the UFC, 14-0 in MMA. He's fighting Edson Barboza, UFC 272. What do you think of that matchup?
I think it's weird, and yeah. I need more time to think about it because I.
well, you have a few months. So that's good.
Well, I saw it posted, and I was like, all right, great matchup for Thug Nasty. Because while I don't particularly love his persona or his rap album, for the 30 seconds I did listen to it, I do think he's really exciting to watch. But I also don't know that's a good matchup for him. So, it's certainly an interesting one.
Definitely. Arnold Allen, the aforementioned, he's only 27, 8-0, 17-1 overall. So there are quite Sadiq Youssef, 28, 4-1. Avalov, who we mentioned, he's 29 and 5-0. Who do you think wins that fight, the Topuria Avalov fight?
I've been leaning with Topuria, but it will be really interesting to see the lines when they come out. It also sort of feels like one of those fights that if Topuria lost, you'd like still higher on Topuria's in the long run because it's like his prospect loss to like a more seasoned veteran than he is. But I don't know. He's looked really good in his couple fights.
And look here, Yair Rodriguez is still under 30, 29. He's 8-2 with one no contest. Ricky Simone's only 29. He's 7-2. Just came off a big win.
Yeah, but he fights mostly at bantamweight now, right?
Yeah, like that's true.
He did fight a couple of times at featherweight, but I think that was
why is he on this? Yeah, I wonder why he's on this list at bantamweight, but he is.
I'm guessing it's because he fought a couple of times, like in those COVID matches where people were we both don't want to cut weight. I think he did. Am I remembering right? Brian Kelleher and him fought it at featherweight.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. Melzik Bagdasarian, 29, and he's 2-0. So, there's a lot of bright. That's just the guys in their 20s. There's obviously guys in the 30s that are good too. So it's a good looking weight class for sure. Champ at the end of 2022, I'm going chalk. Volkanovski is my pick.
He's
looking better and better every fight, basically.
Yeah, there's no reason to not pick Volk. Nope. His number one contender is probably a dude he's fought twice and beat twice.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and he's shown no reason not to go with him. No chinks in the armor, so to speak. So he is the odds on favorite also, -180. Who do you think is next at +350?
Probably Max.
Yep, you got it. Chan Sung Jung, surprisingly, is next, +675. Giga, +1100. What do you think of that? Pretty good number, right?
Yeah, I like it about as much as I like some of those other, like, long shot. Like, I probably like it in the same range as I like Manolfia Rose +1200. Like, maybe won't get the shot this year. Yeah. Not sure I'd pick him even if he did get the shot, but, like, yeah, intriguing enough, especially because you're getting, you know, four digits there on your plus number.
Yep. Calvin Kattar +1600, Josh Emmett +1600. So Emmett does show up on that list. All right, that is featherweight. Good weight class. Go up to lightweights. Current champ Charles Oliveira just beat Dustin Poirier. Who do you think is next for him? We know who it should be, Justin Gaethje. Will it be Justin Gaethje, do you think? Even though both Connor and Oliveira are angling to fight one another.
I think it's going to be Gaethje. I just have that feeling. I just think it's going to be Gaethje.
And what do you think of the line and who wins that fight if it happens?
I'm going with Oliveira. I mean, I had Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier. I think Gaethje's defensive jiu-jitsu against Khabib did not look good, and I think it shows holes, and I think Charles Oliveira exploits those holes.
Yep, very, very true. Okay, who's next in line after that, then, if that fight happens?
I think it's got to be Islam Makhachev.
Makhachev's beating Dariush.
Yeah, that's assuming he beats Dariush, but I do kind of assume he's going to beat Dariush. But yeah, the winner of that fight is next up for sure.
Okay, who should we keep our eye on in this weight class? Before I start naming names off and stealing your thunder, who do you want to keep your eye on in light
so
for this year? Big games.
I've already got eyes on Masrooz Gamrot. He's like number 12 in the division now, so he's certainly not a sleeper.
Yep.
But a guy who I think can do some pretty wild things, and I've got an eye on him. The other one who I think, not enough people are talking about is Claudio Puelles. Losing the Ultimate Fighter finale, he won his second fight, looked really bad in his second fight despite winning a Performance of the Night bonus. Got the crap beat out of him for, a couple rounds, and then came back with a knee bar submission, took some time off, moved to Sanford MMA, and has since then has just looked untouchable. Like, he beat the piss out of Jordan Leavitt, he knee barred Chris Grootsmacher. Like, he looks like, the real deal, a full package, and he's super young. The dude is only 25 years old. I think there's a lot to be said about what he's doing and where he's going. And so he's kind of my like off the radar guy, whereas I think Gamrot is going to make the biggest moves in this division in 2022.
Yep, very good. Gamrot definitely on board with him. Others worth mentioning, Ferris Dayam, the Smiler Killer, is only 24. He's 2-1. He's fighting Terrence McKinney coming up. Armin Sarukian, 25, 4-1. Fighting Joel Alvarez. As Dan mentioned, Puelles is only 25. He's 4-1, also in the UFC, 11-2 overall. Fighting Chris Grootsmacher. Nazareth Hakparas, 26 years old, only 5-3 in the UFC. He's fighting John McDessie coming up. Who else jumps off at me that I think's all right? Jalen Turner is doing okay for himself. The Tarantula, 4-2 in the UFC, 26. Mason Jones was a very highly touted prospect. He finally seems to gotten acclimated to the UFC. He's 1-1 with one no contest so far. What do you think about Paddy the Baddie, Dan? He's only 1-0, 26. But what do you think his 2022 is going to look like?
Consistently being overhyped and getting his face punched in by somebody. like Claudio Puelles. I'd take Claudio Puelles in a fight over him today. And people were talking about Paddy being a champ. Like, if you really truly believe Paddy is going to be a champ, go back and watch his first fight in the UFC. Watch him get beat early on in that fight. Like, he doesn't get beat, right? He does win that fight. I'm not saying he was supposed to get, but like, he was losing striking exchanges with Luigi Vendramini, who is like not a world beater. Is a guy who maybe has some promise, but is like really unpolished. And he was looking like the more polished guy early on. So, I mean, say what you want. Any of these guys anywhere near the top 15 right now would just eat Paddy for dinner, like in a bad way. So
why doesn't he have another fight book? Do you think they'd be trying to get all they can out of him?
I think they're trying to. So the rumor right now is that March has a, and it's, I believe it's March. March is a date in London, or at least they're booking a lot of British fighters, and it seems like they're hinting it's going to be in London as long as nothing gets worse or, London doesn't enact more restrictions or anything like that. So I think that's probably the next time we're going to see him. They're probably holding off on officially announcing it while they try to decide whether or not they need to get him a U.S. visa or if that fight card's actually going to happen.
Yep. Makes sense. So Dan is not big on Paddy the Baddy. There you go. Grant Dawson's 27, 5-0-1.
He did not look good last fight. I am not big on Grant Dawson.
There you go. How about?
You mentioned Terrence McKinney, who is supposed
to
have fought.
Yeah, Terrence McKinney's on there. Yep. 1-0, 27.
Yeah, And he was supposed to have fought Farah Zaim, and I know you mentioned Farah Zaim, but, like, I'm way more interested in McKinney after winning his UFC debut in 7 seconds. And I think he had 5 wins in 2021, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he had one of those crazy ones,
Yeah, him and Chris Curtis had some wild lines. So, I've got my eye on him. He's another one who's sort of interesting in the lightweight division.
How about Joe Selecki, 3-1, 28?
Another guy who didn't look good in his last fight. Like, if your whole thing is you're supposed to be, like, the top-notch grappler in Jared Gordon just kind of handles you that way.
Yeah.
You know, like, despite your record and your age and all that other stuff, I'm just low on him. Also, if you like Joe Selecki, though, you can watch him tomorrow night in a grappling match on Fight Pass.
There you go.
There's betting odds for that. I contemplated possibly bringing that up. I think he's grappling Donald Cerrone, if I'm not mistaken. If there's a whole bunch of, like, fun UFC guys, like Billy Quarantillo's grappling Clay Guida. Sean Brady is grappling, like, one of the toughest jiu-jitsu guys in the world, Craig Jones. It's, like, a weird card.
Yeah. Yeah, this good weight class here. Rafael Fiziev, 6-1, just beat Brad Riddell. He's one to keep an eye on, right? Adaman?
Yeah, he is. But, again, not that he didn't look good against Riddell. I worry about him against, like, the slew of really great grapplers in this division because we haven't really seen him defend against it.
Yep.
So while I've got my eye on him, I am worried he's going to run into somebody like Gamrot.
Yep. You and your Gamrot, but I agree. I'm all on board for Gamrot, too. Picking the champ at the end of the year is kind of difficult for me. I guess I'll go with the current champ, Oliveira. But yeah, this is just because no one else is really standing out as definitely going to beat him. So I guess I'll pick Oliveira.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Oliveira too, but more as like a safety pick here because I think I might pick Islam Makhachev if it was like clear he was next. Because I might even pick him to beat Oliveira. I think it would be close. I think I'd probably debate back and forth for weeks on end, but like I might pick him. For me though, like one of them has the belt and the other one doesn't, and you know who knows? Like he could beat Gaethje and then fight Connor and then be hurt, and they might have to do an interim, and like you know, like there's so many things that could happen. That with as far away as I feel like Makhachev is, I'm not ready to pick him, and none of the other immediate challengers are interesting to me. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Oliveira too.
Yep, he is the favorite +200. Makhachev +300 is next in line. Dariush +400, Gaethje +400, Poirier +700. I don't get that one. McGregor +900. I don't think McGregor is beating Oliveira though. If that's who the champ is, plus he's not even healthy. Is he? I guess he's training. He's showing pictures of him looking swole. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't ever know what to – I don't trust his Instagram.
Yeah, it's true. Don't trust the gram. All right, I think that's enough for you kids today. That's enough for – hey, this is it. This is it for 2021. This is our last episode of the year, but we're not going away. We'll be back on Sunday, that would be, in a brand new year. Thank you for everyone for making 2021 a spectacular year for the podcast. When did we start? Do you remember what actual – day or even month we started doing this, Dan?
I want to say it was the first week of December in 2020.
Okay.
So I think we're a little bit over year now.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. So we'll be back episode 104 on Sunday. Happy New Year's to everyone. Until then, we'll see you in a year. Ha ha. I'll talk to you in a year, Dan. Funny joke, right? Ha ha.
Yeah.
Right. Ha ha. I'm running out of steam. Let's end it. I am Raw Dog, Jeff Fox. He is Gumby, Daniel Vreeland. And we will talk to you next year. Bye.